Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. While you're opening up there, remember, men, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is God's men meeting. And we're going to have a great time of Bible study together and prayer time. Just encourage you one another in the Lord. Amen. So you need to be there at 7 o'clock. Also, next week, we'd like to take a special offering up for those in need down in Texas. I've been in touch with American Association of Christian Schools. We're a member of that organization through our Christian school, and they have several churches that they're connected with that would know the money would be used wisely, and 100% of the money would be used for them down there. So we felt that would be a good direction, that we could take an offering and send it through them, and they could direct it to the churches and their church members or school members or whatever, to be a help. So you pray about what you can give to be a help, and we'll take a special offering next Sunday and send that down. Exodus chapter 3, I want to preach a message entitled, I Am, and Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept a flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld, he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say unto me, What is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to be in church this morning. Lord, we are truly thankful to have a Bible in front of us, to be able to read from it. God, I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us this morning as we study about thy great name, I Am. And Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to be our teacher this morning, and he needs to be the great convictor of our soul. And Lord, I pray that we might have an understanding heart to know thee better. And so, Lord, I pray that you just move upon us in a miraculous way. Lord, we're mindful of the fact there might be somebody here who's not saved. And I prayed you'd touch them, Lord. You revealed to them that they need to believe on Christ, the one and only true living God. And Lord, that they might be gloriously saved. I do pray for every believer this morning that we might be stirred and challenged, motivated, Lord, in our faith because of how powerful and how real our God is. And so I pray for your blessing on the preaching of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And what a great name that God declares for himself. It's a name, I am that I am. And literally, it's a name that carries with and denotes the idea of the name of Jehovah. And when he explained what I am that I am means, it literally depicts that God is totally self-existing. In other words, he does not need anything else to exist and to be who he is. He has no dependence upon any other. And oftentimes I've heard people say, well, God created man because God wanted fellowship with man. That's not why God created man. He did not need man. You realize this morning, he does not need you and he does not need me. He does not need this world in which we live. And he needs nothing to exist. And Moses, as he's ready to go back to the children of Israel, is concerned about the fact that when he comes, they're going to question him, well, who sent you here? And he said, who am I going to say has sent me? And God responds to him, tell them, I am that I am have sent me sent you unto them to bring them out of bondage in Egypt. Matthew Henry said this, the greatest and best men in the world must say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. There's not one person in this room this morning can declare they are what they are because of their own selves. We are what we are because of the grace of God. There's no person, how good or how strong or how intelligent they may be, that can proclaim them those principles in and of themselves. It is by the grace of God and God's grace alone. Yet God is eternal in his being and he needs nothing to exist. He just simply declares that he is I am. He is unchangeable. He is eternal in his existence. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oftentimes people want to say, well, you know, the Bible is just out of touch in 2017. You know, the culture was different when the Bible was written, and situations were different when the Bible was written. May I just say this? God isn't different who wrote the Bible. And God can communicate to us in 2017 how the Bible is to be applied and how we can obey it and fulfill it for his glory. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the great I am. We cannot find him out simply by intellectually searching him out. In Proverbs chapter 30, in verse 4, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses this morning. I'm going to put a lot of verses up on the screen for you. But in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, it says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? It's just saying this, you can look at the wind as it is blowing and can you control it in any way? These hurricanes that have been coming up just recently reminds us of the majesty and the magnitude of storms that God controls that man has no control over. I always get tickled. Everybody talks about global warming and this, that, and the other. Like, man's going to do something to change his climate. Man can't control the climate. It is God who controls everything. Why? Because he is the great I am. In Job 26 and 14 says, lo, these are the parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Job is just saying this, God is so vast, He is so infinite in his being and his actions and who he is that man, whatever he can comprehend of God, is just a minute reality of who he is. Man is finite in his ability to comprehend. God is infinite in his person and his being and in his power. So literally, man cannot comprehend all that God is. John 1:18 says that no man has seen God, but the only begotten Son hath declared him. Everything that we know of God and we can experience in reference to who God is because that God in his grace chose to send his Son into this world so that he might reveal to us who he is through his Son. And that's why Jesus refers to himself as I am. And here he is, Moses going back to Israel with the name of God, I am that I am. This states that he is the sovereign God who is reaching out to people. You know, people say God is not a loving God. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, God's reaching out to man and offer him a way of redemption through the sacrifice of his own Son. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it was not Adam who went looking for God. It was God who came seeking Adam. And the sovereign God who is eternal in his being, the great I am, is the one who is always going out to pursue after his creation. He loves us. He has grace and mercy towards us. He is not willing that any should perish. And he's longing for all of us to come to faith in his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am that I am. First of all, let's look at what he is and highlight some things about this matter of being the great I am. First of all, he is the creator. There is no one else who has created anything other than God himself. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1 and verse 15 and verse 21 states this. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee. And that's the word Jehovah there, which carries along with the idea, the main idea of I am. You can literally say, well, but now thus saith I am that created thee. O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. Then you skip down to verse 5 of Isaiah 43. It says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather it from the west. In verse 15. Amen. There we go. And it says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. In verse 21, it says, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. I want you to know this morning that God is the Creator, and because he is the Creator, he has created us in his image for the purpose of bringing praise to him. God has not saved us just to be able to have our own way and do our own thing. God created us in his image. He saved us for his glory that we might bow down and worship and praise him. And so Israel, he is the great creator of God. Whatever is in this world did not happen by chance. It happened by the design of God. Jesus said this in Matthew 22 and 32. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living. You know, everything that God does is in reference to bringing life. You know, God spoke, and there was light on this world. God spoke, and all the creation came into existence. Jesus Christ came into this world to give us the opportunity in order to be saved. He said, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. And as the great I am, as the creator, he is always bringing forth life. God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. First of all, he is before all things. You know, Jesus, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 17, in reference to Jesus Christ, he is before all things. You understand there's not anything here that was before Jesus Christ. People look at Jesus and they say he began to exist when he was born of Mary in a manger. The reality is he's the eternal God. He is the creator of all things, and he existed before Mary was ever born. He created the world in which Mary would be born into. And listen, he is the one who has entered into this world that he created that he might be able to deliver us from all of our sins. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So here he is. He is a self-existing God who was here before anything else existed. And not only that, but he is the creator of all things. In John chapter 1, John records for us this matter of Jesus, the beginning of the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's not one thing that all of a sudden by accident or through evolution or whatever else you want to try to identify it came into existence. Everything that came into existence because the eternal Son of God, who is the great I Am, who is the creator of this world, created everything that you and I can to enjoy and to have in our life. And wait a minute, he was before it all came about, and he'll be here after it's all gone. The reality is one day the judgment of God will fall on this world, and this world will be burned up with a fervent heat, and everything will be gone. But Jesus Christ will still be here. He'll still be true. He'll still be God. He'll still be in control of all things. So he is the great I Am, the creator. He's before all things. He's the creator of all things. He is the molder of men. And Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. You know, oftentimes people say, I just don't like who I am. I just think I should be somebody else. Wait a minute. God created you in who you are. And we need to be, you know, what they say is, all these things go through my mind when I'm preaching. Amen. I'm trying to grab a hold of one. Come back here. And multi-billion dollar business in America is cosmetics. Billions and billions of dollars. Why? Because nobody's satisfied with who they are. Constantly trying to make themselves look like somebody else or to be something else. Wait a minute. God molded you in what you are. And you're to be happy in what God has created you to be. And literally over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are to be growing and maturing and being molded into the eternal Son of God. Why? God created Adam and Eve in a perfect environment. In his image, he created them. They fell into sin, and sin corrupted that image. And God came and redeemed them by slaying the animal, and the blood was spilled. And God delivered them and reconciled them unto himself. But now man needs, and he's born in sin, and his sin has marred the very character of who he is to be in reference to the image of God. But God has already predetermined for you to be molded back in to the image of the Son of God. The great I Am, that's the creator who created you, wants you to be molded into his very image. So I Am, he is the creator. I Am, he is the manna from heaven. Over in the book of Exodus in chapter 16, you read about when the children of Israel were in the wilderness wandering, they needed food to eat, and God rained bread down from heaven. And when he rained bread down from heaven, he provided for them miraculously to be able to eat. And the Israelites saw that, and they said, what is this? And they said, it's manna from heaven. And literally in John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said this, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I love that song this morning Sue sang. It goes right along with that verse. Amen. If you're hungry and you're thirsty this morning, I want you to know that God can satisfy the hunger and the thirst of your soul. In chapter 6 and verse 51, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Literally, Jesus Christ is the bread that has come down from heaven. He offered himself as a sacrifice that man may be redeemed and saved from all of his sins. And the only means by which we can be saved and satisfied is the fact that we take part in receiving Christ as our Savior and identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. Rabbi Zacharias said this. He said, who is God? Many questions we ask all the time that are never answered. Who is God? Who are we? What is our purpose? All these questions remain unanswered. I want to reach the genuine seeker of spiritual well-being. My goal is to satisfy the hunger and longing for those who seek the truth. You know, Paul said they're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. You know, if you sincerely want to know God, God will reveal himself to you. You truly are hungering for God. I want you to know that God will come to you and give you life. Why? Because he satisfies man's hunger for life. I know this before I got saved. I mean, you name it, I was involved in it. We got involved in Amway. I thought for sure I was going to make $1 million in 5 years. Amen. Well, I found out I couldn't sell enough soap to buy a car. Amen. And and I'm not down on Amway. It didn't work for me. Amen. But when I wasn't involved with Amway, it was something else. And everybody used to call me to tell me, hey, Mike, which way is the wind blowing this week? And because every week I had a different idea, had a different direction that was I was going to go. When I was engaged to be married, I was got stuck out in Granite City, Illinois, driving tractor and trailer, no freight coming back east. I was running freight from Granite City, Illinois, up to Milwaukee. I was making money, man. I'll tell you, I was out there for 2 weeks. I finally got back home. I told my wife, who was my fiance, I said, we're moving to Granite City, Illinois. She said, you ain't taking me out of New Jersey. Amen. She wasn't going to go out there. And then listen, we got married, and I thought a good idea for wedding honeymoon. I told her, I said, man, I got it all figured out, a honeymoon that we could go on. I said, we'll just take the truck, get a load, go to Florida. And when we get to Florida, we'll take a couple weeks off, go see some things, then I'll get a load, go to California. Then we'll stay in California for a couple weeks, then we'll come back. She told me, she said, I ain't taking no honeymoon in no tractor and trailer. Amen. I don't understand what the problem was. I thought it was a pretty good idea myself. It was a paid honeymoon. Amen. Working your way through. But no, she didn't like that idea either. I just tell you, over the years, I think I scared her to death because I had a hunger and longing in my soul that could not be satisfied. I mean, I went after everything to try to satisfy the longing that was in my heart till one day I heard about Jesus Christ. Till one day some preacher had the guts to stand up and preach the gospel of Christ, and I got under conviction and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. You know what? I've been on one course ever since. I surrendered my life to the Lord, went off to Bible college, and been walking with Jesus and going the direction that he wants me to go. And I'm not, listen, I'm totally satisfied. My hunger is gone because it's satisfied in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. And if you'll feast on me, I'll satisfy your soul. So he satisfies man's hunger for life. He fulfills man's thirst for righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, says, he that hungereth, blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness, for he shall be filled. I'm thankful if you want to know God, you want to be pure in your life, you want to live a righteous, holy life, God doesn't turn you away, but God comes upon you, enables you to be holy and righteous in his presence. He fulfills man's thirst for righteousness. I'm going to tell you, sin is horrible. Sin, listen, you'll get involved in all kinds of sinful things, and it never satisfies. It was amazing to me. When I was a drunkard and I was an alcoholic, I mean, I'd drink to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, bottles upon bottles of beer. And the next day after I sobered up, It was like I was not satisfied. I had to get another bottle of beer. I'm telling you right now, but when I drank of the blood of Christ, when I drank of the life of Christ, I'm telling you my thirst has been satisfied. Amen. Good preacher, preacher, that's good preaching. Amen. Preach on. I don't know what kind of Jesus you have, but I have the one who's the bread of life. He provides eternal life.
Amen.
You say this life is boring. Don't worry, you'll be gone. Some sooner than others. Glory to God. Amen. John 10:28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. What a promise. The great I am, the bread of life. He is the creator. Notice he is light in darkness. John chapter 3 in verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, these houses of ill repute, these houses of debauchery, these places of entertainment that's ungodly, isn't it interesting? None of them have lights. And it's all dark. And if they put any lights on at all, it's all color lights flashing all over the place to get you disoriented and think you're enjoying yourself. Man, I'm really having fun. I'm so glad God took me out of there, amen.
Amen.
He took me out and he put my feet on a solid rock. Amen. That rock is Jesus. Glory. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 12 and verse 46. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Hallelujah. The light turned on when you trust Christ as your Savior. John chapter 9 and verse 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. May we get a hold of the reality that the great I am, Jesus Christ, is not just the creator and not just the bread of life, but he's the light that shines in a dark place. What does that mean? It just means you were no longer blinded. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are blinded. How? By the God of this world, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ should shine in their hearts. The Son of God came into this world to remove our blindness. It's amazing. I'll tell you, when you get saved, life looks whole lot different than what it did when you're lost. And so they're no longer blinded. We are children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, Paul tells us that we are the children of light. You know, the world is dark around us. I understand the world's dark around us. I understand the world's not going to get any brighter. It's going to get worse. It's going to get darker. It's going to be more immoral. But bless God, where I'm standing, I can portray some rays to push off the darkness. Amen. Why? Because we're supposed to be the influence in the world. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. And so he is the great I am. He is the light in this world. Number four there. He is the door to heaven. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10 and verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. John chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice, because he is the door to heaven, I am the door, he said, you can be saved. People say, I don't think people can get saved nowadays. Oh, yes, they can. Why don't you take them to the door? Take them through the door. Take them to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, I want to get them in Baptist church. Hey, Baptist church. Hey, they'll hear preaching. You get them here, though. I'll preach to them. I'll try to get them saved. But bless God, you ought to get them saved. Take them to the door. Amen. Lead them to Christ. You can be accepted. So much today, people are worried about being accepted. Well, you know, so-and-so wouldn't be my friend on Facebook, and your life is ruined. Wait a minute. In Christ, you're accepted in the Beloved. I am the door, he said. And so he's the way to heaven. You can find peace when you go through that door. Having therefore made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Why? Because there is a door to get into heaven. And the door to get into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Notice he's the I am the shepherd, good shepherd. He is the shepherd who saves. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. How is that going to take place? John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of them. So the shepherd does what? He leads. I'm thankful the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. You don't drive sheep. You know, I grew up on a farm, dairy farm, and you don't lead cows anywhere. If you try to lead them, they're going to, first of all, when you're leading them, walking along like that, you're going to turn around, ain't none of them going to be there. Unless you got a bull in the herd and you're walking here, you might turn around and he's coming after you. You don't lead cows. You drive cows. But sheep you lead. The interesting thing is God uses sheep as an example of who we are. Your sheep are dumb. Sheep get themselves into trouble. They fall down. They can't get back up. They have all kinds of situations. Sheep don't think about what's going on around them. That's why a wolf can come in and destroy them so quickly. The shepherd has to lead the sheep. And I'm thankful that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. That means he leads me. That means he cares for me. The sheep cannot care for themselves. I don't know what sheep. I saw a wolf come in and say, bah, I'm going to get you. Bah. Sheep comes walking along. The wolf comes and the wolf pounces on them. They're done. But wait a minute. The shepherd is there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm glad that there's a shepherd for my soul who cares for me. I can cast all my cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for me. He said, I am the good shepherd. He cares. He protects. I'm thankful there is an enemy that needs to be fought. I'm glad that he is the captain of the host who fights the battles. I'm thankful when the battle of Armageddon takes place, we'll be returning with Christ. The rapture had already taken place. Christ will be coming to fight against the armies of this world. I'm thankful we're coming with him, but I'm more thankful that we're not doing the fighting.
That's right.
I'm thankful that he'll destroy the armies of this world with a sword of his mouth. Why? Because he's the one who protects. I am the shepherd. Notice he goes on, he says, he's the only source for life. In John chapter 10 and verse 17, and 18, the only source for life. People say, well, I want to have eternal life. I want to be able to live forever. You're not going to have it outside of Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How could that take place? Because Jesus has power over life and death. And Pilate thought that he had some power in deciding whether Jesus would be executed or not. And Jesus corrected him. You'd have no power if it were not given to you of my Father in heaven. Why? Because he is the only source of life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, wait a minute. I believe I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. No, that's not the way to heaven. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, I've gave a lot of money. No, the resurrection is in Jesus Christ. It's not you redeeming your own life. Jesus said there's only one way, and that's through him. He said in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He goes on to say in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I'm just saying this. If there is life that you can experience, it comes through Christ and Christ alone. Why? Because he's the I am of the resurrection.
Amen.
What does that mean? There's power for life. You say, wait a minute. You just don't understand the temptation that I have to overcome. No, you don't understand the life that Christ has for you. Pastor Pierosini and I were talking this morning. And I'm afraid most Christians really don't know God in the deepest sense of how powerful God is. Because in Christ, abiding in Christ, I have all power against any evil that comes against me. But if I allow myself to succumb to that temptation, what good is that? What good is that? I'm not living a new life in the power of the life of Christ gave to me. Not only is there power for life, but there's a positive direction. And Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the greatest thing that you can do is follow the leading of Christ. Why? Because there is a purpose for living. And I don't know what the purpose of God is for you, but I know what the purpose of God is for me. And my decision has to be, I'm going to respond to the great I am, the I am of the resurrection, the one who has the power to lay down his life and raise it up again. Because if he has power to do that, then he has power to direct me. He has power to strengthen me. He has power to give me purpose and worth in life. Now my life that I looked at was not valuable at all, has great value because it is owned by Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection. He's the only source of life. Look over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. This is the last point. Revelation 1:8. It says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He is the everlasting God. He is the eternal God. Revelation 1:7, he says, and when I saw him, this is John speaking, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know, I like all these twisted preachers on television who claim that they see Jesus and they talk to Jesus and they debate with Jesus. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. John, I don't know any of them that are anywhere close to the character and the strength and the love that John had for the Lord. And John comes into the presence of the Lord, and the first thing he does, he falls down as dead. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. What's he doing? He's confirming to John that he does not have to fear of the judge of all the earth. He doesn't have to fear eternal life because, wait a minute, Christ is the one who is the possessor of life because he is the eternal God. Revelation 22 and verse 16, Jesus said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Sometimes people say, well, I don't understand why you guys are always pushing everybody to be in church. You just want to get a big number of people in church. I'll tell you why I want people in church. Because God sends his angel. He sends his messenger to testify of who he is in the church. So, what does that mean? If he's the I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he's the eternal God. It means, first of all, that I'm assured of heaven. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. Revelation 19:9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You know, one day the trump of God's going to sound. Dead in Christ will rise first. And they which are alive or remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And I understand that when that takes place, we'll be having to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our life. But once that's over, the great marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you what, it's going to beat Shady Maple. I'll guarantee you. We're assured of heaven. Why? Because he says these are the true sayings of God. Folks, there's no hope. There's no confidence in questioning, doubting, or discrediting the word of God. Just believe what it says. Be assured of heaven. Why? Because Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. And because he is the beginning of the end, then what he has told me and what he has done in my life, I am assured of the fact that heaven is my home. But there's a confident, we need to be confident of blessings. Revelation chapter 21 in verse 5 said, he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm glad that one day we'll be in the presence of the God who can make everything new. I'm telling you one thing right now. What's in this world? This world, listen, there's not one thing in this world that is even close to helping you comprehend the glory of what heaven's going to be. That's why he's got to make all things new. Because everything's corrupt. Everything's tainted by sin. Everything is wicked, but he's going to make all things new. I'm confident of the blessings of God. And then I'm secure in the grace of God. Revelation 22 in verse 20. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's Jesus. He says, surely I come quickly. Notice the response. Amen. People say, well, I don't know why you people say amen. I don't like people saying amen in church. Well, you better get used to it. It's going to be in heaven. Amen, glory. An old preacher years ago used to say, can I get a witness? Amen. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Then he concludes the whole Bible with a statement, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We're secure in the grace of God. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, I am the door of heaven. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He said, I am the creator of Israel. I'm telling you right now, the reason why we can have the hope and the joy and the excitement and the deliverance that we can enjoy is because of I am. Moses, when you go to the children of Israel, just tell them, I am that I am has sent you. You say, what do I say to people when I go to them? You just tell them the God of all the universe, the great I am, has a message for you to hear. And he sent me to tell you that message. I am. See the great I am in your life? Man, I'm glad he is in mine. And I'm wanting him to even get greater. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come to you. We thank you so much for helping us just to get a glimpse of the character of God and the fulfilling and revelation of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, the great I am. Lord, I'm glad you didn't say I was. I'm glad you didn't say, maybe I will be. I'm glad you said, I am. Lord, there may be someone here that's not saved this morning, and they really don't comprehend the depth of what it means to be saved. We had touched them with the reality that you can say to them, I am your Savior. I am your Deliverer, your Redeemer. I am the sacrifice for your soul. I pray they would come and receive Christ this morning. Help each one of us, Lord, as believers, oh God, how we need to dive into the depth of who our God is. You have so much for us. Lord, you have done so much for us. Oh God, I pray that we might enter into this praise and worship of who you are. The great I am. Blessed is this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's